This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk.
Hi, my name's Chris Scott and I'm here with Ian Harris from the WSET. Some of the other innovations that WSET have got planned going forward. How are you, Ian?
I'm great, Chris. And we've got a lot going on at the WSET at the moment. So yeah, I'm in good shape.
Excellent, excellent. I attended the WSET APP symposium earlier in the year, and I'll just say that's your best symposium I've attended so far by a country mile.
That's really nice to hear. Thank you.
Much better than the normal ones. So you need to keep going with that because it was good.
We're going to. I mean, the one thing that the pandemic has actually taught us is just how much you can do as a virtual event because we'd run. APP receptions and events and you call them symposium. But of course, when you're asking people to travel physically somewhere, some people can't go, some people can't afford to go, and you don't get everybody, you get a small percentage. But of course, you can do it all online. And we had a fantastic attendance. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, the APP Global Summit, as we've now called it, is going to happen again in 2022. Because it's just a great way of doing it. And the other thing we did in 2021, because we couldn't have an awards ceremony or graduation ceremony because of obviously the pandemic, we couldn't bowl up to the Guildhall and have 700 people in there, is that we did a virtual graduation. And I was sort of somewhat skeptical about it, but it worked really well. And we've had fantastic feedback from diploma graduates who would normally be walking up the stairs to shake hands with Jancis Robinson or, you know, the late Gerard Basset as honorary president and then a glass of champagne in their hand. And of course, for 12 months, they've missed out on that. So it was a virtual graduation. So what we're planning for 2022, we've booked the Guildhall and all things being equal, we should be able to have a full awards ceremony and graduation ceremony at the Guildhall. It's the 17th of January, 2022. I'll make sure you're on the VIP guest list, Chris, don't worry. But there will be a virtual element to it as well, because again, not everybody could travel to London to receive their certificate and to receive any prizes they may have won. So we are going to have a hybrid event for our awards and graduation in 2022, taking advantage of the technology. Why not? So, but no, it's nice of you to say so. It was good to get all our APPs together under that virtual umbrella earlier this year.
One of the things that came up in that event was there was a couple of changes that people talked about or potentially coming down the pipe. Two of them that I'm aware of, and you've probably got some more, and I wouldn't mind just exploring quickly what they are. One of them was the idea of students using computers to sit their exam in class. Yeah. What's the idea behind that?
Well, the idea of that is actually to eliminate a lot of manual processes. It's called CBT, computer-based testing. I mean, that's what it is. And actually, the remote invigilation we've done is a version of computer-based testing, but of course it still has you still need the element of invigilation. But the idea of computer-based testing is actually if you've got a group of people in a room but all doing their exams on their computers as opposed to with a pen and a paper, is that it can still be invigilated by someone, you know, like you or one of your colleagues walking around to check no one's cheating. But then the results can become instantaneous. They still need to be verified, but it's basically eliminating the paper element of the exam. So that's something.
Does that mean that when the students finish and the exam's over, they'll go, you got X out of...
Well, yeah, but it has to be provisional. It has to be provisional because of our accreditation as an awarding body. There are certain rules that we have to adhere to, which is we have to verify that person has actually not broken any rules. The idea is, and we're not ready to launch it yet because unlike remote invigilation, we really do want to test the hell out of this before we do it. Yeah. And there are two parts of it, and certainly one of the sessions in at the summit was about there's two parts. There's the bring your own device, which is turn up to an exam venue with your own iPad, laptop, phone, whatever. And that is fraught with complication.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, or there's the walk into the exam room and instead of seeing 30 desks in front of you, you see 30 computers in front of you, which are clean. But of course, not many APPs are going to be in a position to either have a room devoted to just examinations with laptops plugged in and all hooked up and all clean, because obviously you've got to make sure there's no other programs running. You know, bigger companies, you know, companies like Diageo, this is meat and drink to them, because they have learning centers where computer-based testing is just the norm for them.
Yeah,
so that's one of the innovations we're working on, and that's certainly going to help some of our bigger providers around the world.
David Martin is my sort of representative at WST, and he said something that I'm not sure if it's true or not, and I may have misheard him, so I just want to clarify it. They were saying that when you get new people going through the educator program, you're actually going to be sort of reducing the numbers on that a little bit by making them require business cases and all sorts of things along those lines. Is that what's going on there?
Yeah, I'm not sure that's
reducing numbers, perhaps, but
yeah, I mean,
increasing the barrier, perhaps.
Yeah, well, it's not increasing the barrier in terms of educators. We've got a lot of very small approved program providers, tiny. You know, you're pretty sizable. There's other, but we've got other people who set up as an APP, you know, maybe 2, 5, 10 years ago, who've never done more than 10 candidates a year. And well, that's a waste of everybody's time, to be honest. Lots of administration and running an educator program for an educator that's only going to have 10 students in a year is a big investment that it's not great for us.
And also from a quality control point of view, you need to be running those courses regularly to be good at them.
You do. Yeah, absolutely. And so we're making a conscious effort to make sure that all our educators are upskilled. And one of the things that we've done because of the pandemic is we are now able to deliver the educator training program through a virtual environment, mm-hmm. rather than having to go somewhere. Although I was in Bermondsey Street yesterday and there was an educator course running, which actually physically with real people.
One of my team was there.
Oh, right. Great. Good. Okay. But we're very conscious. We've got quite a large number of educators who maybe are not keeping their knowledge up to date, because that's it was great that we were able to meet each other a couple of weeks ago at the International Wine Challenge event. And you know, when you look around, there's always a lot of people who you know sort of dabble in teaching, and you can't dabble in teaching. You got to do it properly. Because if a student's paying good money, or their employer is paying good money for that student to do a course and therefore hopefully get a qualification, then the quality of the teaching needs to be good, because you're buying a service. And if the educator is poor and their knowledge isn't up to date, then that's doing a disservice to the student. And you know, when I joined the WCT in 2002, the biggest criticism I got when I went round to see people in the industry, because when I joined the WCT, I was the first CEO who came from an industry background. Prior to that, it was ex-army brigadiers who ran the WCT. But the big criticism that was pointed to me in 2002 was, your teaching's not up to scratch. The materials you're showing isn't up to date. One of my students came back and to be honest, was taught something that we know is factually wrong. So we made a real effort to improve the quality of the education. We introduced the educator training program about 15 years ago. I think you may well have been one of the early people, Chris.
Probably.
But and keeping the quality of the education is absolutely really key. Interestingly, from a regulatory perspective, the teaching and the quality of the teaching is the last thing that Ofqual are worried about. They want to know that, is the exam run properly? Are the toilets clean? Are the glasses clean? Is there enough natural light? Have you got disabled facilities? All that stuff. And the quality of the education is actually secondary. But for us at the WCT, the quality of the education that the student gets when they're embracing with the WCT brand has to be absolutely first class. So that means that the educators need to keep themselves knowledgeable. And as you know, Chris, we're living in a fast-moving world. The wine world in particular is changing so quickly. You've got to keep your knowledge up to date, and it's and you're doing your students a disservice if you're not keeping your knowledge up to date.
Well,
so
that's here's a challenging question for you.
Go on then.
I've got my diploma. I did it years ago, and I wanted to get up to date with it, and so I tried to get hold of the new diploma course material. I do have an ulterior motive. I'm trying to create product based on the diploma course material, right. But I was told I'm not allowed to access the up-to-date material. So it's as an educator, I can't actually stay up to date because you guys won't provide the information for a course that I've actually already passed.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to, I'm more than willing to buy it, but I wasn't allowed to.
You know, when you and I mean, I did my diploma back in 1980. You're not as old as I am, obviously, anything like, but in even in the day that you did your diploma, I bet the day you turned up for your first course, someone gave you a suitcase full of books and said, right, off you go. That's your, that, that's your,
no,
your
we never got any books. We were just given slide decks and told to read.
Okay. Right. Well, I mean, now, I mean, everything is online. So yeah. You can't access it unless you are a registered diploma student. It's as simple as that. Mm. And I do sympathize. And, but I, what I would say is that within the diploma, even back in my day, and certainly when you did it, a lot of the onus on the diploma students was to actually read outside the prescribed texts. And in your day, it would have been, you know, the Oxford Companion would have been that's the sort of Bible of the of knowledge. But of course, the Oxford Companion is out of date the day that it's published. So it's really important that educators keep their knowledge up to date. But the syllabus, you can access the syllabus. You can see what things we're adding to the syllabus.
Through the specification?
The specification is what your listeners might understand as a syllabus. So it's basically what's covered in the exams. And of course, what's covered in the study and in the examination potential for the diploma is changing on an annual basis. You know, when I did it in 1980, if you knew Bordeaux, Burgundy, Port and Sherry, you were pretty much, that was pretty much it. When did you do your diploma, Chris?
Oh, 10 years ago, 12 years ago. Something like that.
Right. Okay. So we've made changes. And one of the innovations, if you like, that we've done that you were mentioning earlier is we've taken spirits out of diploma completely now, mm-hmm. because we've now launched a level 3 award in spirits. But rolling that out during the pandemic has been quite tricky because of getting educators trained. But but basically, when it comes to the diploma specification and or syllabus and what's to be covered, that's changing on a very regular basis. So things like Chinese wine, for example, which would never have crossed anybody's mind, and certainly when you did it and certainly when I did it, is something that you would never think would have to be part of the specification. Well, we're looking at that because actually China is a huge producer of wine, and it's starting to export. And just the whole what we used to describe as the new world, which when I did mine was hardly covered at all, was covered in more detail, obviously, when you did it. And as more and more countries take their place on the world stage, so they have to be part of the syllabus. I think the owner, it's a very good question you've asked, but the reason for that is because, you know, I would trust someone like you, Chris, I promise you. But giving someone access online, you never know how far that's suddenly going to leak in terms of our...
Even as an APP, I can't access it unless I say I'm going to do a level 4 course. Is there any way of getting access to it, even for an APP, to try and stay up to date to teach their students the most up to date material?
You're not teaching diploma, so you don't need to.
I'm teaching level 3, and they change.
Yeah, with my trusty pen and my post-it note, Chris, I've made a note of it. I'll see what I can do.
Can you?
Yeah, I will find out whether it's possible.
Okay, so we've talked about exams, we've talked about the possible new computer exams. We haven't talked about the new beer course. You're moving out of wine and spirits. So what are you going to be called? The wine and spirits and beer Webster. Isn't that a cricket thing?
we're launching beer qualifications. And it's not new. It's not new, because when I did my, I don't know when you did your lower level WSET qualifications, but I did, when I did what was called the certificate and the higher certificate, which are now levels two and levels three, and my, I've got my certificate on the wall in the office. It's the WSET certificate in wines, spirits, and associated beverages. Okay. And associated beverages included beer.
Oh, okay.
So the WSET used to include beer in its lower level syllabus specifications, but the amount of time devoted to beer in a classroom, you know, in the days of Five Kings House and in London, was, you know, you'd do a 3-day course and 10 minutes would be on beer, and you might get one question on beer. And there was an, there's an organization called the Beer Academy.
Yeah.
And the Beer Academy, the people who launched that, oh God, back in 2003, I think it was, came to see me and said, hey, we, you know, you're doing great things with the WSET. Are you okay if we steal your ideas and how you work? And I said, well, I can't stop you as long as you don't nick our intellectual property. We're starting the Beer Academy. And I said, great. If you're starting the Beer Academy, I can finally take that 10-minute section out of the certificate, because we really are not doing it properly. And if you're going to do it properly, good for you. So, but what then happened is, as we've grown globally, and you've kind about the, your compliments about how we've grown globally, we were getting, I mean, even probably 5 or 6 years ago, I was traveling around in the days when, the good old days when you could actually jump on a plane and go and see people and go to trade shows. I was constantly getting people saying to me, and not just in the UK or in America, but also in the Far East, you know, why don't you guys do beer? You know, you're doing wine, spirits. We were just about to launch sake. Why don't you do beer? So we've looked at it and we've taken the decision we're going to jump into it. But of course, the decision to jump into it was then stalled by the pandemic. So it's we've had to push it back a little while. But yeah, I mean, it's a big innovation. So no, we're not changing the name. We're not changing it in the same way that we don't include sake in our title. We might look at some subtle sub-branding, but I'm really excited about it actually, Chris, because the opportunity for beer is huge. Actually, you know, there's a lot more interest in beer now than there was certainly 10-20 years ago. You know, I was out at a restaurant with my daughter last night, and we went to a lovely dinner near King's Cross and then went to a pub afterwards. And, you know, the selection of beers these days is wonderful to see. And there's a real thirst for knowledge on beer.
Yeah.
So we just feel it's an opportunity. Our providers around the world are very enthusiastic about it. We've done pilots, and it's great when I go into the office, because when I open the fridge to get the milk out to make myself a cup of coffee, quite often there's a fridge full of beer there. Nice. Okay. So I do obviously check before I steal one at 5 o'clock to have a sneaky beer by my desk. But no, it's coming, and it's I'm really excited about it. So unfortunately, it won't be rolled out fully until after I retire, which is a shame. But I promise you, I will be one of the first students to do the beer course, because it's something that I've got all the other certificates. Let's stick another one on my wall.
Cool.
So it's coming.
Is there any other innovations I'm not aware of? You know, I've sort of kept my ear to the ground, but I don't really know everything.
In terms of sort of external things that are innovation, I think you've covered it. You know, computer-based testing, improving the examination experience, upweighted educator training, beer qualifications. We're having a real push on spirits. I mean, that's the level three spirits, which we launched just before the pandemic hit. Mm. And so we're having a real push on that. So we've got a specific spirits educator program now, because the spirits world is different from the wine world. Yes. And I know that, you know, we are called the Wine and Spirit Education Trust, and every company I've worked for has been selling wines and spirits. But from a consumer perspective, they are actually quite different sectors. So a real focus on opening specific avenues for spirits, and particularly in America, because it's a huge, huge opportunity there with the craft distillation movement and the multinationals as well, who are focusing on spirits. And to be honest, the spirits, the big spirits companies are the ones who've got the big training budgets because they're working on bigger margins than wine companies. So yeah, and that's probably, I mean, we've got quite a lot of internal innovations coming on. We've got a new customer relationship management system, CRM system, which is which is being worked on at the moment. And that's giving us the ability to interact more with our students and our customers. So there's quite a lot, and we've just put a new finance system in. We've got the two subsidiaries, as I said, in America and in Hong Kong. And we've got some innovations happening in how we work in those subsidiaries, and that's actually going to help our customer service, which we referred to earlier on. So yeah, there's a lot of internal innovations, but I think we've covered off the external ones.
Excellent. All right there, Ian, I think we'll wrap it up there.
It's really good. It was such a pleasure, wasn't it, to see everybody at the IWC event.
Yes.
3 weeks ago, and it was all a bit bizarre in that it had to be open air, and it wasn't the formal black tie sit down and chat with a table full of so many bottles you couldn't even see across it. I thought it was, and I've told Andrew Reed this, I thought it was a great event, but it was so nice to see people. I know we had to be really careful about distancing, and I saw loads of people hugging. You know, I know that you weren't supposed to, but I think people were just so pleased to actually be let out.
Yeah.
So no, it's a pleasure to see you at the IWC event, Chris. And thanks for inviting me on the show. And it's always, always happy to be part of it. And if you want to do another one just before I retire, feel free. But I'm sure we will bump into each other before then.
All right. Brilliant. Cheers very much.
Thanks, Chris. Good stuff.